Spawn On Me is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what the deal be, everybody? We are here on Spawn On Me with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're having a wonderful, magical day today. I hope you're having a lovely, lovely time wherever you may be. And I have to say, I'm very excited to have some wonderful fam on the show for this episode. If you missed last episode, which was basically about a week and some change away, because I've been busy in the trenches making sure that literally everything on the Spawnies is going as properly as it possibly can. So I apologize for missing some, you know, missing a week. We didn't have some content on the feeds, but there's a ton of content out in the world. And if you are missing any of that stuff, then I don't know what the hell is going on. You need to figure that stuff out. Make sure you're checking out the stuff. Make sure you're hitting all the buttons. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Make sure you're hitting all the dope stuff that we're doing on Twitch and all the other places that you get a chance to see us doing our work. If you missed our nomination show, we did that about a week ago. We had all of our wonderful friends. We had Rihanna Manuel Pena, my co-host for the Spawnies. We went through all of our 13 categories and got to share all of the amazing nominees for this upcoming Spawnies. So hyped, so excited, so ready to get that show out into the world and have you all rocking with us. So please, please, please make sure you're checking us out. On February 29th, of 2024 is when we will be doing our show again live in full effect, our developer focused award show that is going to be spotlighting the underrepresented folks within the video game industry. Always excited to do that, and always a blast to be able to get that show off the ground. Very excited about what we have to show this year. Really, really hyped for our music guests, all of our presenters. We're having some meetings with some folks on production earlier today. So again, make sure you have all of that stuff locked. Make sure February, if you're watching a live show here on twitch.tv/spawnonme, make sure that if you do subscribe to the channel, you do it in February. I want you to make sure that you see the show in its entirety without any ads. Please make sure if you're going to subscribe to the show, do it in that month, because it'll absolutely be the best thing that you possibly can do for all of it moving forward. So please make sure you're doing that in the best ways. This episode is really funky and really dope because I have one of my favorite folks on the planet on the show, John Warren. He is going to be talking to us about his new product and the product that he's working on, Glider. And we're also going to be talking about the Xbox Developer Showcase, Developer Direct that happened earlier today. Really excited to talk about that with him and all the goodness that's happening in the video game industry. So without further ado, I think it's time we brought John on the show. Let's bring John Warren on and rocking with us today from Glider. It is the fam, John Warden. What's good, John? How you doing?
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
I'm good, man. It's good to talk to you. I haven't been on the show in a long time, and I'm happy to be back.
Oh, my goodness. I get to see your beautiful face. I'm very happy every time that I get the chance to do that. It is always dope to be able to get to see you and getting the chance to see, you know, how much wonderful work you're doing. Again, you're one of the most awesome folks that I know in this space. You have brought me nothing but joy every time we get a chance to do anything together. I am sad that we are not doing our basketball show anymore.
Me too. We'd have a lot to talk about.
Oh, of all the shitty times to not have a basketball podcast together, it is this year.
Can you imagine us popping off when Draymond choked Gobert out? Man, that would have been a crazy show. Anyway,
That would have been so good. Just the memes alone.
We missed some stuff this year. We'll have to bring it back.
We have to figure out a way to make that. The collab is happening at some point. We'll figure it out. We have to make it happen in the realest ways. But yeah, for this episode, I'm really excited to bring you on because you are heading up a co-founder for a new apparatus, a new device called Glider. And I'm really excited about this for multiple reasons. One, it's always dope to see you in a position of bringing something funky and awesome to the world. But sure. Second, it's I got a chance to mess around with this, and it is pretty dope. I'm going to play a little bit of play a graphic in the background. We'll talk over it.
Yeah.
But give the folks at home a little bit of information about what Glider is.
Totally. So Glider is a foot-based controller for games, VR, pretty much anything you want to do on PC. It is bipedal. It is bidirectional. It's analog, which is really different for foot controllers in this space. And it's not designed for just one thing. It's designed for a bunch of different stuff. So as opposed to like car pedals, rudder pedals that kind of are designed for one purpose, Glider does a billion things. You can map up to 16 actions on the device itself. It's fully compatible with your PC library, which is incredibly cool. And then even, you know, on console, you can plug it in and use it for games that are keyboard mouse enabled. We're going to have more like compatibility officially with consoles down the line, but right now you can still use it for any game that has keyboard mouse functionality. So this is not on the market yet, but we're going to be putting it on the market pretty soon with a Kickstarter. And you can go to feetlegal.com. That's right, feetlegal.com, and reserve a 43% discount on that thing right now. So yeah, I'm speed running the whole industry, Ka. I did game development, and then I did media, and now I'm doing hardware, which is not a thing I expected to be doing. But I'm having a blast doing it. It's so cool to have like a tangible product here. I'm going to pull out my prototype.
Yeah.
It's so wild to just have a tangible product and use it. And, there are all sorts of things you can do this with. Like, you can see the video, but it's like taking screenshots with the toe tap. Like, that's as simple as it gets. But you can also do full 3D movement, and I've been playing Risk of Rain 2 that way. I played about half of Starfield that way, of just like moving around with my feet. And it's rad. It's really cool. And you can also do things like I had it connected to my Spotify earlier, so I was just going through tracks and stuff with my feet while I was typing stuff. So
I can like mute out all the dirty songs with one.
Hell yeah, like, dude! Like skip, if you're yeah, exactly if you're on your strip club playlist on accident and someone walks in and you're like, oh man, I can just toe tap. They won't even know you did anything. They'll just be like, oh, it disappeared.
He's so just like, hands on your knees, hands on your knees. As soon as that drops, you got to hit the button.
Yeah. But exactly.
So first of all, like the device, and I got a chance to see kind of one of the earlier version, kind of the on the road show folks what it looks like prototype. Even looking at the one that you showed and the one in the video, vastly different in terms of its design, but I think the functionality continues to be the same. The thing that I came away from my time with it that was really, really cool and really interesting was, I think a lot of times when you see a device like this, it's kind of, I would call it an adaptive device in a lot of different ways.
Right.
But you usually kind of only get certain levels of actuation on some of that hardware. What I thought was really cool was that this had a lot of variance in the ways that you can maneuver the pedals, both up, down, back, forward, left and right, in and out.
Yep.
Each one of those actuations and one of those movements gives you a different mappable space to be able to do something with. I'd love to hear your thoughts about how did you all think about kind of starting this process? What was the thing that got you most excited about joining a team and being a part of this? And how did all of that kind of come to fruition?
Yeah, so the inventor of the device is a guy named Rick Tett in the Dallas area, and you know, family friend for a long time. He had shown me this, you know, prototype of this about 3.5 years ago. I was working for a different company. You know what company that was, and they're awfully, let's say, grabby about working for other stuff. You know a little bit about that too.
Yep.
You know, I was like, I just can't do it right now. So lost that job, was like on the market. Rick reached out again, said, hey, like whatever. I gotta be honest, Ka, the first time that he showed it to me, my thought honestly was, oh, this is probably already out there. Like this device probably already exists. I just don't know about it because I'm not really in the space with like alternative hardware, all that stuff. So I did more market research and I was like, okay, we've got like single click pedals. We've got like the stream, you know, the Elgato Stream Deck thing is amazing for like one thing, you know, one or two things, but it's awesome. We have like car pedals, which are in this kind of premium category, but kind of nothing that was robust enough to do literally all of that, right? And so that's what was super exciting about it. And to your point about adaptive, of course, like you look at this device and you play with it and you go, wow, this is going to really slot into a lot of people's adaptive setups. And we've gotten so many emails and excited messages from people with upper limb disabilities and fatigue and things like that who are super excited about this. But, you know, this is not designed as an adaptive device. I mean, it's designed as a full mass market thing. And it was originally envisioned as a way to locomote in VR without standing up. But then as Rick kind of went through the iterations of it, it became this thing where it was clear that once you just kind of use it on a PC with different games and whatever, you know, we started to see a lot of different configurations and really interesting stuff that like, oh, okay. Like, okay. So a really good example is if I'm using a gamepad on like Apex Legends or any first person shooter, it's really tough to like not toggle crouch, right? You want to tap crouch and then untap crouch, because if you're holding it down, it's really weird and you get this claw hand. But like that holding would actually be more tactical, but it's harder to do on a controller. So when I use it, when I use Glider for that, I'm just like way more mobile and agile, and I can focus more on actually shooting people, which is great, you know, and that's the name of the game. So like it's that stuff. It's just like I've gotten better at three or four games that I consistently play because I'm just adding a few actions to my feet, and then it's like robust enough to move completely in 3D space with all those configurations that you mentioned. So it's just a rad device. Like, and I, you know, the more I use it, the more I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I changed a brush size in Photoshop with my feet yesterday while I was, you know, doing something else. And I was just like, oh man, you know, that's rad. Scrubbing through video I've been editing, that's with my feet, where I can use my hands. So it's like, it's awesome. And if there's not a built-in profile when you get this, that you like, you can create your own, and you can create your own dead zones and all that stuff. So it's like we're trying to create a community of people who find really neat configurations for their favorite games and share them with the world and all that stuff. So it's just really cool to be building something like this. The team is great. It's just three of us. We have some cool advisors, but like this is really an indie labor of love kind of thing, and it's kind of cool to be trying to disrupt the market in this way. So
I mean, and you know me, I am a instant fan of anything that's trying to disrupt spaces, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think sure,
when I'm, you know, hearing you talk about the gaming applications for this, the first things I think about are, what are the things that I consistently do with my hands that I would love to be able to offload into another space?
Yep.
Right, like I was upstairs today playing a Predecessor on PlayStation 5, and I was like, you have to hit the middle touchpad on the DualSense to get to open the shop. I could use my feet for that. I was thinking about, I'm going to play some Call of Duty after we finish this up. I'm like, man, toggling from full auto to semi-auto would be dope to be able to do that and not have to use my fingers to do that.
100%.
You know, like, all of those small actions that you don't think about until you need them can be really fantastic in a gaming setting. But you know, one of my favorite things as well is, as a person who loves to do production,
yeah,
every week I cry a small bit because I have to touch. I mean, I have a Steam Deck with me. I do all that. I have all those things, and I'm a little lazy in mapping all that stuff out. But anybody who knows me, they know every week, if you listen to the show right before we go from the beginning of the show into the next part, there's a small click you hear every week, and it kills me because I keep forgetting to do something with that.
To map that stuff,
I can map that to a button. I can map it to Glider. And I'm like, man, you know, moving transitions to transition. I think this has so many different awesome versions of applications that you'd be able to use this with. And I loved you talking about, you know, scrubbing through video with your feet, you know, other applications in that way. When you started to go into the process of talking to the team about, you know, how you wanted to be connected to this. And also, let's be fair, like starting out in a space like this, hardware is the hardest thing you can potentially do.
Super hard, dude.
It's super hard.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Because you have so many things you have to kind of, you know, manage, and you have to deal with, you know, the production quality and making sure that those are consistent and all those pieces. What's been the thing that the team is really galvanized around to make sure that when this product comes to market, that you are checking off all those boxes of quality control and variance for folks who are in different stages of life and different areas of their creative and gaming career?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that really kind of rallies us is the feeling that we do see the way that people are engaging with their digital lives evolving. Mm. Like we feel like we're kind of ahead of the curve a little bit and seeing kind of a change in the way we want to do stuff. I'll take VR as a small example, right? Because VR is not the only application here, but it is one of the applications that kind of started this process. I've been a really big believer, genuinely, that part of the problem with adoption of VR, and it's been slow, like for the past decade, it's been slow. Part of my core idea with why that's been slow is practicality. Mm. You don't want to dust off a device, clear a space in your home, tether yourself to something, and then stumble around a room. You got kids, you got pets, you got furniture, you got a fireplace mantle that you're going to crack your skull on. And so I've been a big believer that seated VR is coming, you know, and it's real. And they don't want to market against their own platform, which has been, you're going to clear a space, you're going to stand up, you're going to walk around. And I thought that until Meta Quest 3 came out, and I was like, oh, they get it. They've started to make more seated things. They're starting to scan for your furniture. They understand that you want to be where you are to do these things. VR is not a thing that I think people want to leave their core gaming space and go somewhere else to do. I think they want to sit and be in a place. And for us, we feel like this device is just one of those extensions of we use our feet in the physical world all the time to do things, drive cars, play instruments, sewing machines, like so many things that we've realized are easier when we kind of combine these things. And we feel like the digital world has just been slow to do it because, frankly, the hardware manufacturers have been kind of staying where they are. You know, Microsoft is incentivized to add paddles to the back of their controllers to sell more controllers. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And the Elite controller is amazing. But I actually think it works really well in tandem with something like this, where you can offload some of those kind of overloading functions to your feet, because I still misclick all the time on those back paddles. And I don't think there's a good solution for that unless you are moving those actions to your feet. So we've just kind of been galvanized about like around the versatility of the device, how we think weirdly, and we're pretty sure about this, and we're pretty weird and righteous about it. But like, we think this is coming anyway. And we just feel like we're here, and we see it first, and we feel like weird pioneers who are trying to convince people that everyone's going to want to do this. And I think that's going to be a slow process, but I do think it's going to be, I think it's going to happen. So that's kind of what we've been talking about.
I mean, I love the example of, you know, the conversations around seated VR. I think one of the other kind of big barriers, not only to entry, but to adoption, has been the dumb look quotient, where people don't want to look stupid in VR.
If you go, like, there are hours of TikTok compilations on YouTube of people busting their asses, falling through closet doors, like, and it's funny. And part of me is like, I don't want to lose that because that stuff is funny. But like, I'm like, come on. Like, I'm watching this. I'm just like, you're breaking your TVs. It's like, it doesn't have to be this way. It reminds me of those early, you know, when the Wii, people not using the wrist strap on the Wii remote. Right. And they throw in their Wii remotes through the TV. And it's just like, yeah, like I think there is a real issue here, and it's silly, it's whatever. It's like, But when you're already in a place, you can pop on your helmet and use glider to move around and stuff. Like Asgard's Wrath 2 mm-hmm. is a great example of a 100-hour RPG in first person. Yeah, you're going to want run around your room for 100 hours.
Nope.
I don't know anybody doing that. So it's like, this is one of those things where it's like, if you still want that full body immersion, but you don't want to bust your knees on your desk, like I think it's a good thing for that. And also it happens to work with basically everything else you do at your computer too. So
I mean, the other part of that too is, you know, I think around the conversation you just brought up, or at least the point you brought up about the Xbox Elite controllers.
Yeah,
I'll be honest, as much as I love that controller and I love how sturdy and chunky and well constructed
feels good.
It is, it feels good in the hands. Controller.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't use those back pedals at all. Uh-uh. They never get used. And uh-uh. I want to be able to use them, but also the way that the Xbox kind of accessory app works doesn't work well. It doesn't work with some games. You can't map certain things to certain actions. I have a harder time trying to do some of that with that. And a device like Glider will offset that and help me to kind of get into a space where that makes that even smarter to be able to implement it within the game.
And you're right. And you're right, because you're doing all the mapping on our own software configurator, either loaded on your computer or your mobile device or through a browser. And so you're always kind of having this available to you to reconfigure it, whatever you want to do. And it's like, it takes that element out of it that is kind of frustrating when you have the ability to do it, but it won't let you do it easily. It's kind of frustrating. And like, listen, I don't want to call anyone out here. Some people got thick fingers and thumbs. Those back paddles, there's not a lot of room. And it's just like, with the people who really love them and use them, And I and again, like you said, it's an upgrade over the other controller because it just feels so good in your hands. But I still think these manufacturers see the issue. People are overloaded. There's a ton of stuff to do in modern games. I feel like an old man on my porch sometimes when I say stuff like this, but I'm just like, there's just so much you could do when you're playing. But it's true. It's like, there's a lot that you can do in games, and it's amazing how many actions you can do. But the hardware manufacturers see it too, and they add these buttons and paddles and 15 buttons on an MMO mouse or whatever. And it's like, that doesn't actually solve the problem that your hands are super overloaded. So offload some of it, you know, and that's kind of our philosophy. And the people who are already really excited about it are really excited about it. And I think more people are going to be convinced once more of these get out in the world and people are trying them and stuff. So.
And I didn't really think about it until you brought it up in terms of your hands being overloaded. But yeah, we have gotten to a space where our daily lives are so hand dependent on you using micro actions and larger actions on your phone. And, you know, I'm getting older, you know, I don't have carpal tunnel yet, but I'm one of those cats now who's looking for that one bottle opener device now, as opposed to like trying to brute force and open stuff in my
hand
now, because it's like I've lost so much grip strength over the years from playing so long and all that, you know.
I'm just like, I get a fresh jar of jam or something, and I'm just like, like an infomercial, just like, has this ever happened to you? Like, I just feel like that more and more and more. But like, as gamers age, and again, like, this is not some old person device, but it's like, as gamers age, we're dealing with this issue where, like, if I'm playing WASD on a keyboard for more than an hour, like if I'm playing Valorant, I'm toast after an hour. My hands are like, I'm doing claw hand, and I'm like, ooh, man, this is tough. So for me, the more I can kind of share the load across my body, the longer I can play and the better I can play, and I'm having more fun for longer. And that's just like, that's just a good thing. So, a lot of different angles to take it, but it's one of those things that I'm really proud of. We're going to start that Kickstarter pretty soon. It will be in January, so stay tuned. And folks can grab a discount if they want. So,
I love that. And even, you know, again, not to go through all and each and every use case, but I think
I love it.
you know, as a person who is working remote now more often than I have than ever in my life, you know, I was already a sedentary person anyway because I game a lot.
Sure.
And don't believe in sunlight and don't going outside. But it's one of those things now that, like, even now, because I'm home so much,
right?
I'm starting to get, you know, old in spaces that I'm not supposed to.
Sure.
Because I'm just not moving around. I'm like, oh, you know, I used to get complained at from my grandma because she would be like, stop fidgeting, because I'd rock a lot, right? And I'd tap my feet a lot.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, well, some of that anxious energy can be put towards a good use and also kind of continue to keep my body in some form of motion with a device like this, which I think is pretty great to think about. Again, more use cases, more reasons why you might want to, you know, incorporate your legs and your feet into a thing like this. But also,
yeah, totally.
It's,
like,
it's all of those micro emotions that add up over time to continue to keep you even the smallest bit limber in the ways that you need to, right? Because I'm stiff as hell at this point.
I definitely think that's true. It's like I can in no way claim any sort of you know, medical benefit here, but it's like I do feel like if I have a big day of like maybe filming footage while playing Glider or just, you know, just like doing stuff on my computer and using the device, like anecdotally, I feel like I don't feel as much like I've been sitting for a few hours doing this stuff. It does feel like I'm not as at rest, which is maybe a good in between spot between, you know, the sickos that have a treadmill desk that I've seen and never moving a bone for 8 straight hours. Like, you know, there's a good in between there. And it's like, yeah, this might be that area. That's like you're incorporating your full body, but you're not, you know, one of these people that's like, yeah, I got to get my steps in while I take all my calls. You know, I'm like, I'm not that person for sure. So, but it might be a good step in that direction. We'll see.
1,000%. And shout out to Del Focus in the chat who says Glider endorsed by Kai's grandma. True. The person who will not be in the testimonials will be Thick Fingerson, who is not is not going to get the love that they deserve. But the other thing I wanted to kind of dig into is I think for devices like this that are new to market and you're trying to find not only a home base for a new audience, but also trying to figure out good ways to market something like this.
Yeah.
Have there been any spaces where, you know, talking about the games themselves that you're already kind of playing and using this device with, that you've potentially shown some folks and been like, hey, this could be perfect for your game? Have you had any of those kind of potential conversations yet? Has that even been a thing that you've all decided in kind of the ways you're trying to think about this?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely talked to a few devs that haven't released their games yet about, you know, saying, hey, like, take a look at this, like, see if the device makes sense to have some sort of maybe official, you know, kind of collab with. On a general level, you know, a lot of times we'll show this device to someone who plays Fortnite. I think it's something like 35% of people on Xbox and PlayStation have played Fortnite in the past month, which is that's a crazy number, by the way. That is a crazy number. Mm-hmm. And it's a great game. There's a reason it's transcended kind of this entire time, is that they just keep kind of reinventing themselves, but they still have this kind of core gameplay loop. And, like, you know, a lot of the different functionalities in Fortnite are something that we'll show off with Glider, whether it's like build, you know, shifting between build and shoot mode, scrolling through the different building materials when you're building stuff. We show people Fortnite often and they go, aha, they kind of get, you know, it's like, oh, so we're seeing kind of the log jams of where people go, oh, I am tripped up by this. I think it's part of the deal. So I just live with it. And then we show them a way that they don't have to live with it. And they're like, oh, damn. All right. You know, like, I think a good example is Armored Core 6 and like Elden Ring. Classic example of a game that'll map one of the most important things you can do to the D-pad, which when you're running for your life, you don't want to move from your thumbstick to hit your D-pad to heal yourself. So, like, that's one of those things where it's like, oh, it almost feels like I'm getting away with something because I can be running away and still be healing myself, which is kind of not what people do. They have right. to stop for a second, trigger that, and then keep going. So we show people that. We've been showing the device to some people who are making games that excite us, that there is an obvious kind of tie-in to. Can't announce any of that. Can't, you know, talk about any of it because I think most of these games haven't even been announced yet. But like, we're talking to folks. So there is that element of it where we're like, we want to show this to people who are in the middle of making games, kind of see if there's like a fun way to incorporate this. But at the same time, we're just like so all in on the versatility of it all. And, you know, I've kind of taken to being like, what do you play? And then someone tells me and I go, hey, I got a great idea. You know, like this is what you should do. Fire it up. This is what you should do. Rocket League, a good example. Like, you know, some people have a really big issue with like the kind of the boosting and rocket jumping maneuvering at the same time, all with your hands. All right. Well, so move one of those things to your feet. And now we're seeing players with like more kind of accurate midair motion because they can kind of focus more. So it's like, I just really take to, hey, what do you play? I'll show you a way to use it. And you'll, yeah, maybe your mind will be blown. Maybe you'll go like, ah, I won't use that. I'm like, okay. But like, for the most part, people see an angle and they get pretty excited about it. So that's a long way to answer your question, but yeah, that's what we've been doing.
I love that. What's so far in the time that you've been with the team, what's been the kind of weirdest oh shit use case that you were like, oh, we never thought about that, and now this really like this makes so much more sense with this device now because we're using it in this way that you were like, oh, well, why wouldn't we use it like this?
I think the one that like I feel really removed from, but I had a conversation with I don't think I should say their name, but because they haven't officially endorsed it or anything like that, but it's like I had a conversation with a music producer who has made some really pretty popular albums in a specific genre and runs live shows for their music and stuff like that. And they DM me on Twitter to be like, this device would like completely transform the way I do these live shows.
Huh.
And it kind of walked me through that. And I was like, yeah, it'll do everything you just described. And I'm like, great. I would have never thought about that in a million years. So that's one of those things where everyone's natural curiosity about what they do with their hobbies or in their games or whatever, you know, it's coming out in weird ways. And we're so early in this process that it's like, oh, we're scratching the surface. You know, it's like this is going to hit the market and more people are going to figure out extremely weird things to do with it. And it'll be great. And Ka, I can't wait for the OnlyFans girlies to get their feet on this thing and run streams. I'm telling you, they will be playing Fortnite and raking it in. So if you john.warren@glider.gg, you can just feel free to let us know. We'll send you a prototype. And I joke, but like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's like,
I'm like, laughing because you're not wrong.
It's like this stuff is great, you know? And here's the other thing. I'm so excited for glider categories at GDQ. Well, Awesome Games Done Quick is happening right now.
Yep.
And this guy, I watched him yesterday beat Mario 64, 16 stars with a Rock Band 3 drum kit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that is awesome. There was a Shiba Inu 2 days ago that beat a game, a dog, with a pad controller. Yeah. And I'm just like, any glider percent is a new speedrun category, and I'm so here for it. So it's like, there are a million things I can't wait for people to do with this and stuff I can't even imagine. So I'm psyched.
Oh man. Amaranth and Morgpie just are ready.
Listen, we're gonna have to make one that's a little waterproof for Amaranth, so she doesn't get the hot tub water on it. But we'll work something out. Don't worry.
Oh God, yeah. Again, but we were joking about this, semi facetiously, but in a real way. Like they're like
I'm good with it. There's nothing about it. I'm like
1,000%.
It's like good.
But that's the reason I love devices like this, though, is because it really does raise, in a real way, it raises all tides of, the imagination station, right? Because then you get a chance to really think about other stuff in that way. And when you talked about the music kind of layers of that, I was like, oh, instantly that makes a ton of sense. Like, oh,
yeah,
I could skip songs, move to new songs. I could make that a fader if I wanted to, because depending on how much pressure you want. Like, I can see you pitch shift with that stuff. Like, there's so many different ways to be able to kind of mess around with that in a real way. Like, ooh, that's going to be real cool to see who gets hands on this and then, really make something funky. And the GDQ example, that's like, someone's got to do that. Like,
slam dunk. I'm looking forward to Elden Ring glider percent. That's what I want. I want someone to play this whole game with the 16 actions on their feet. I want them to go through it, and then I want to see that. That's what I want to see. So I'm psyched to get, I've been quietly talking to a few speedrunners low key. They might get one of the early production models. But it's like, I want people to know that it's an every person device. It's just like, you're going to love it, I think. And it's like, and you talked about adaptive at the beginning of the show, and we really do. We're already forming, I think, a pretty close bond with some folks that have been in touch, that see the ads that we've been running or see stuff like on socials, and they come to me because Steven Spahn over at Able Gamers, friend of many people's. Yep. He was quoted recently in an article. I think it was on Rock Paper Shotgun or Eurogamer. I can't remember. But he was talking about how adaptive devices are actually weirdly expensive and hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so here for us to come in, swoop in. This is a mass product with huge adaptive appeal. And that's how I want to see adaptive gaming adapt, for lack of a better word, to go, we're done trying to pigeonhole these devices into, this category, and they look kind of weird, and they're, it's like they're kind of over here in a corner, and it's like, no, it's not. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this to adaptive gaming? Why are we kind of othering the adaptive gaming? Why aren't we releasing more products on the market that are just for everyone, but also have this like clear, massive, huge appeal to folks with upper limb disabilities and hand fatigue and stuff like that? So it's like, I don't know. I'm just all for kind of forwarding the discussion on adaptive hardware of like let's just make stuff that works for people of all sorts of backgrounds, So I don't know. It's exciting.
I rock with that again, because I think, there is a sentiment that goes along not only in the kind of larger accessibility community, where we have seen a lot of devices come out born from the needs of folks in that space that then come out to market and kind of get bastardized in a lot of different ways, where they don't get the full kind of complement of exposure or marketing or discussion when it comes to folks who are who don't have any ability issues.
Right.
To feel like you can't touch these. You're not allowed to. You're not supposed to engage with these devices.
Yeah.
And Glider feels like that really nice bridge between something that is available for that if it 100%. Need be.
Yeah.
But also, it is another device in the swath of devices that does something really different in a way that feels more connected to the ways that we play in everyday life, which is one of the things I absolutely love about what Glider has been in the chance that I got a chance to play around with it. I came away, again, really, really impressed with the versatility of the device. Came away really excited at the fact that I could play pretty much anything with it. and then kind of reevaluating all the pieces that we talked about today about, like, here are some other things that if you wanted to mess around with, you have the ability to do so.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for y'all in a huge way. Cause again, like, this is cool stuff, man. Like,
yeah,
I love being able to see new things come to market and kind of move in a space that is, you know, it's changing the way you think about the ways we usually play.
It's wild. And I feel like there aren't smaller players in the hardware space doing stuff that's like super interesting. So, yeah, I feel we're small kids at a big table. And I think, like, there's something really scary, but something really exciting about it too. So yeah, I appreciate all the kind words, and I'm really just excited for people to get their feet on it. So,
I mean, look, if you need any more OnlyFans models, my crusty toes are here for you.
We'll do it. It's for someone. Kyle, there's someone out there for you.
There is no one who wants to see my
taking
care of feet in the still pandemic. I let myself go in every form of so nobody.
There's someone out there. Someone out there for everyone.
DM me on Twitter if you're not a bot.
Yeah. Email Kyle at crustytoes6069@gmail.com.
Toesforyou.gg. We'll figure it out. I do want to talk to you a little bit about the other layers of the device before we pivot.
Sure.
Yeah. But I want to talk to you about, you know, I know this is very much right now in kind of the PC space, PC yes. VR kind of space.
Yep.
How are y'all thinking about consoles? Is this a thing that, you know, you're going to have to work with some of the developers on that end to build an API for it? Does it feel like a kind of plug and play device where you connect to something like that? How are y'all thinking about that?
So for extensions of keyboard mice, like if you want to fire up Call of Duty or Apex or something like that on your PlayStation, you could plug this in right now and play it. You're going to have to configure it on your PC or your mobile device or whatever. So you're not going to be able to like go into your PlayStation and change those settings. But you could do that. Now, we have not extensively tested that. So it's like there's, you know, we've pretty extensively tested pretty much everything on PC. We see no real reason why 99.9% of PC games that have ever been released would not work with Glider. So we can really confidently say that. For console right now, it's just one of those things where we're like, yeah, it's kind of, I would say, unofficially supported.
Sure.
We're working with, we'd like to be working with three console makers right now, but we are working with one so far. Mm-hmm. I won't say which, and they've been very accommodating. You could probably guess which one. They've been very accommodating and cool, and there's a process you go through. There's a handshake. That's the thing. It's like we've seen all these platform holders come down a little bit on third-party devices recently. Those are mostly for like game pads and unsupported kind of alternate controllers, but not necessarily extensions of keyboard and mouse, which is what Glider is. So we would like to do more of a handshake so you can go into the actual interfaces of PlayStation or Xbox or even Nintendo Switch to work on that and not have to use the configurator. But at the same time, it's super easy to use the configurator. So, yeah, we want there to be more official console compatibility just so that those console makers can put their stamp on it and say, like, hey, yeah, this is something we support. But, you know, there are still quite a few games on especially Xbox and PlayStation that do have that keyboard and mouse support. So whichever games have that, you'll be able to mess around with Glider with console. So
I'm excited for that. I'm just
thinking cool, man.
All the stuff that I'm playing right now. And I'm like, ooh, that would be a lot of fun to mess around with.
Yep.
Before we pivot to, because I definitely want to get your thoughts about the Xbox development showcase today, let the folks at home know where they can find out more info about Glider and again, that awesome discount that you talked about.
Yeah. So if you go to feetlegal.com, that's FEETLEGAL.com, you can learn more about the device and also give us your email if you want to get updates, and also put a dollar down and you'll lock in a 43% discount when the Kickstarter goes live, and it's going to go live within the next 2 weeks. So you should get on that. And yeah, that's amazing. You can follow us on socials at GliderGG. That's GlyderGG. Pretty much everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Like Blue Sky, LinkedIn. You know, if you want to, get some great LinkedIn posts from yours truly, you can go to LinkedIn /in/GlyderGG. I think that's the URL. But yeah, no, just follow us at all those places. Sign up for updates. It would be awesome. And yeah, get that discount, because there will be a limited number of those discounted units, and then the price will go up from there. And then yeah, so your first opportunity to get your feet on it is coming up soon, and we hope you take advantage of it. Try it out. Tell your friends. You know, especially if you think of someone that like could use it in any of the ways that we just described, yeah, let them know. It would mean a lot to me. So
you need to find that one developer who is doing virtual pottery making, and have that as the device for the spinning of the virtual clay in VR.
Can you imagine a VR version of the scene from Ghost, but you're using your feet, and you can use your feet to turn off the Righteous Brothers song in the middle of it?
You can make use one of the pedals in the actuation to be like have virtual Whoopi Goldberg just pop up behind you.
Oh, like, how cool would that be to summon?
But she doesn't say Whoopi Goldberg from the movie. She just says everything that she says on The View.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
But yeah. Man, I'm hyped for. See, you know what? If you need somebody,
you just gave us a new use. Exactly.
Need somebody else.
All I gotta do is get the likeness of Whoopi Goldberg from Ghost, and then I'm good.
I mean,
that's probably for sale, right?
I mean, look, we got virtual Harrison Ford, so why not?
That's
virtual
true.
Whoopi, right? Like, good it segue. Just makes sense. It
good
just
segue,
makes sense. Car.
That's why you're a pro.
You know, I've been doing this for now 10 years. Good Lord, I'm old. Yeah. Anyway, I do want to get your thoughts on the Xbox Direct from today, because I think there was a lot of really good and interesting news that we knew was coming. But I do think that getting a chance to actually like see that come to fruition is important for the conversation around, like, is Xbox really doing what they need to be doing at this point in the year? Again, it's only January, but I think a lot of the energy that came from last year was still in this kind of specter of, is Xbox really pushing the space forward? Are they actually bringing games to market in a real way?
Yeah.
You know, we're playing some B-roll for the folks who are looking at this on Spotify, or if you're not looking at this in video form. What were your thoughts about the Direct today? Do you think they kind of nailed it?
I think they nailed it in the sense that they showed us a bunch of games that I believe are all coming out this year or close to it. Mm-hmm. So that was... that was good. Now, we'll see if they'll stick to it, because they've done this before where they showed us a bunch of stuff and said in the next 12 months, all the stuff is going to be out, and they kind of missed the mark. Mm. But I appreciated, one, that they showed actually a really impressive breadth of genre here. We had we had the new Mana game from Square Enix, which was kind of a nice surprise. Didn't really expect it in this crew. We got, and I apologize to this team, I am excited about this game, but we got the 48th update of Hellblade 2. that game has been perpetually coming out for about 5 years, and I'm glad that we're finally kind of at the finish line for that one. But it looks like that game is gonna do really cool things. I think the shift from AA, where they were doing so much with so little from what we understand of that original budget, to go from that to what is very clearly a long and expensive production that is still apparently short. They made mention, they like made a point to say this is still a pretty tight narrative game. I'll be really interested, because I'm not a time and money person when it comes to games. I'm just like, give me your best shot, and I don't care if it's 10 hours and I pay $70 for it. If I loved it, then I loved it. But it'll be really interesting to see how that turns out. And we saw like a good, you know, we saw Obsidian show Avowed, really, I feel like, kind of in depth for the first time, you know, from the world of Pillars of Eternity, which I like. I think those RPGs are great. I think Obsidian is a really weird developer. They make some weird, I love Pentiment, which came out, you know, a little bit more than a year ago. Really weird game. A game that just feels like it shouldn't exist in this kind of ecosystem, but it does. It's kind of weird and wonderful, and they've made a lot of games that I really love, and Avowed is kind of their attempt to bring some Bethesda Skyrim energy to, you know, this whole thing, because we're not going to see Elder Scrolls 6 for 15 years, probably. So that was cool. I don't know. It was a nice breadth. I would say that I would say it's very successful to show us a distinct lineup that is all apparently coming out this year. So I thought that was a win from that standpoint.
Yeah, it was cool to go into a show like that with reasonable expectations and to see that those expectations were met fairly well. I think one of the things that Xbox has been doing, you know, really, really well of late has been setting those expectations with the audience, even though the audience doesn't give a shit and goes off into the next stratosphere with their takes and all the other stuff.
They'll find something to hate.
And find something to talk about that has nothing to do with anything important. Like that whole conversation this past week about is Xbox going third party was one of the dumbest conversations I've seen in the industry in a long time.
It's pretty obvious that conversation spawned for people who I guess have never read a word that Phil Spencer has said in the past like 7 years, you know. It's like, I'm like, man, all right, sure. I don't know where any of that came from, but yeah, that was a silly thing.
Yeah, it was a really dumb conversation that literally
was pretty bad.
Served no purpose for anyone involved. Right. I mean, I got roped into it because I'm dumb, but I'm also like a person who likes to poke bears, so I was like, whatever, shut up, silly people. But I think what came away from today's direct, a couple of things really stuck out in my mind. One, I was not really excited for Indiana Jones as a concept. You know, my biggest, you know, worry for that game, and I talked about this on IGN's Unlocked today, was I just don't know if Indiana Jones has cachet with the youth.
And does he have the juice? Right.
Does he have the riz?
Have you seen? Have you seen Harrison Ford with a shirt off from Raiders? That dude's got riz. He's got riz for sure.
Put that riz on my chest, young Harrison Ford. But that was one thing that I was worried about. And then getting a chance to see, you know, Machine really do their due diligence with tone and the visual styling of the game, and, you know, that first person view that is going to be the way you play this game.
Yeah,
that felt really, really important for them to nail that, because I think even if you don't have the cachet or that, you know, cultural connectivity that you would want, because, you know, when you're building a new game around a known IP, you have an expectation for fandom to just automatically kind of carry that.
Yeah,
but if you're not old enough to understand why Indiana Jones was cool for the time that it was cool, what the hell do you care about Indiana Jones?
Right.
I feel like they've bridged that gap and got people excited for what this potentially is going to be. And then, I'm sorry, somebody said, fix your heart or die. Just said Indiana Jones and the Riz Wizard. My God.
That just broke me.
That's really
funny.
I think the that ability to kind of pull that in, jumps that gap for people there. Avowed was interesting because Avowed, and I love Carrie Patel, who's the game director for that game, worked on Outer Worlds, brilliant, super dope. She's amazing. I want to interview her again because she's awesome. The world looks cool, but it also feels like a mashup of, like you said, that Elder Scrolls feel.
Yeah.
with a lot of the VR titles we kind of see these days.
It's a lot of people pointing out that that looked a lot like Asgard's Wrath 2.
Right.
Like,
I worry about that for them. Yeah, I worry about for them, because you need differentiation in the industry now in terms of not even for your bottom line, but just because everyone's attention span is so short. You need something to pull in for that. Go ahead, John. What are your thoughts?
I'll kind of tell you my bottom line worry about today's presentation, because it feels nitpicky maybe, but I still think it's a valid observation. Microsoft has been maybe better than any other of the major devs to try to demystify the game development process, which I think is a noble and good goal, right? I think the demystification of that process will only lead to, over time, I think, a good thing. And kind of teaching how that works. So in a way, I really appreciate the brass tacks kind of straightforward conversational style that everything was presented in today. Everyone was in their studios. Everyone's talking about the process. Everyone's talking about what they're excited about. On its face, that's great. What I worry about, Khalif, is that some of those teams, and I'll focus on Avowed, were talking about things that I thought were so unbelievably basic to the tenets of video game design that I'm like, what else you got?
Mm.
Because you kind of just explained to me the concepts of a lot of games that I've played over the past 5 years. Oh, there's environmental art that changes. Oh, you can dual wield a wand and a sword. I need a little bit more, I feel like. I didn't get like the clearest sense, especially from that Avowed demo, of like what separates this from a lot of the RPGs I can play. And it's really tough, because you shouldn't be like this. And I try to pinch myself whenever I try to be like this. But Baldur's Gate 3 just came out. Like, that is a crazy robust, super, super involved thing. I know it's not first person. I know there are differences here. But when you take a big swing with an RPG, what are you showing me? What are you giving me? Is this just Outer Worlds again, which is a great game, sure, but it was a small slice of something. And that slice was tasty. But, you know, is that what we're getting? Are we getting something more? Like, what are we getting? So some of the stuff we saw felt surface level to an extent that I'm now maybe a little bit concerned about it. But maybe I shouldn't be. And you know me, I'm tougher than most on stuff like this.
Same.
You know, I'm tough on that. But it's like, that's my only, I think, negative observation today, was some of the teams were coming to the table with stuff that I'm like, y'all are excited about it, but like, why should I be excited about it?
Right.
And that was kind of an interesting takeaway from it.
I mean, and it's hard too. Like, if you think about the full roster really of that direct, you had Aura,
Untold History Untold, I think was the subtitle. Yeah.
Which is also just an interesting name for a game if you don't look at the way it's spelled. It sounds very Foghorn Leghorn to me. Aura, my friend.
All right, let's play some Aura.
So that's an interesting space that is very, very niche in terms of, you know, what gamers are kind of thinking about. They did, like you talked about, have a really nice differentiation between genre in this direct, which was really important to show the breadth and depth of the kind of portfolio, which I think is really important. I think the game that, if you think about the verticals and what they're looking at, you had the showpiece, which was Indiana Jones, which was the biggest thing to get you excited about.
Yeah.
You had the Mana stuff.
Yeah.
Which was in the mix for the weeb crowd. You had those folks who kind of in that space to be able to play that game.
Sure.
Aura is the super strategy.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, all right. Yeah. Y'all are ticking a lot of boxes here. My boxes, but that's great. You know.
And then you have what I think is if you think about the full strategy of where Xbox kind of needs to be.
Yeah.
I still think Hellblade, although, again, we've seen multiple versions of this at this point, now we have a release date of May.
Yeah.
That is their flagship title out of all of these things, in my mind. Yes, Machine Games is gonna be the you know, Indiana Jones is gonna be their version of Uncharted now. That'll be their you know, their platform moving game that will give you that one-to-one analog between what you got on that other side of the fence.
It's gonna do for Machine Games, for better or worse. This is a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
That Star Wars Jedi Survivor did for Respawn.
Yes.
I think it's one of those kind of studio savers of like a studio that is making unbelievably cool games that for whatever reason are not making the money back that they need to. They're probably doing great, but you know, execs, they need even more. But it's like those Wolfenstein games are rad.
They're good.
And so Machine Games making Indiana Jones, my heart breaks because it feels like they're never going to make another Wolfenstein game. But I'm also like, okay, you're going to put your juice into this Indiana Jones thing, and that's cool because Jedi Survivor is dope. Like that stuff is great, and they're making the best Star Wars stuff this side of Andor. So it's like I'm good with it, but it does make me go like, well, all right, well, your days of doing the thing that you made your name at or maybe over, but you've got this other thing that's going to be really important, so that's cool.
And this can be the, you know, the other scenario, and I love the way you kind of laid that out. You have two in my mind too, where this either then becomes Machine Games now gets pigeonholed into just making games like this in the way you talked about it,
right?
Or the best case scenario is Xbox now has their own Insomniac studio.
Sure.
Insomniac-esque studio, right?
Absolutely. That'd be
for
wonderful.
For Machine, that's great. For Xbox, that's great because for the most part, they have not had that at all in the studios that they've been pulling into the fold. And if Machine Games can now really, you know, hit the pedal to the metal with this and really make it something that's fantastic, has a lot of appeal across the critic space and the player base, then they potentially get to be the other studio that's fighting Insomniac for IP.
And that's kind of
interesting.
It is definitely interesting. And I mean, that's, Insomniac is a good pull because Microsoft really doesn't have that in terms of, you know, Insomniac, like every few years, I know they're going to put out a banger that's pretty different than the very last thing that they did. Now, obviously, they made a few Spider-Man games, but in between those games, you know, the Ratchet and Clank was really good, you know, for what it is. And so it's like, Microsoft doesn't really have that. It'd be nice if they could establish that. And Machine Games is like, you know, I'd hoped that Arcane would be that, but here's my tinfoil hat thing. That Blade IP tanked that Redfall game.
Yeah.
That at some point they signed Blade and they were like, we can't make this other vampire game awesome. So we're going to basically stop kind of at this point and let that out there. Don't come for me. I don't know anything. I don't have any. But it's like once I saw that they got Blade, I was like, oh, that's what happened to Redfall.
Yeah.
All that other stuff that was kind of vague and whatever, I was like, that's just kind of a weird story. I don't really get it. And then I'm like, okay, the Blade thing happened. Anyway. I was hoping that was Arcane because I love Arcane so much, but Machine Games might be that, and it might usher in a scenario in which more of these studios get to play a little bit. And Obsidian's getting to play, which is cool, but they need more studios to be able to do that, I think.
And I'm hoping at some point we get the kind of behind the scenes vid doc. They'll never do one on Redfall specifically.
No, probably not.
It would be cool to see the interplay across that bevy of Arcane Studios because Leon is going to be taking on Blade and Austin hit Redfall.
Yep.
What were the learnings there between those teams? Because you have to be talking to each other in 100%. That scenario. It's different than a Bungie that is underneath the umbrella of a Sony and sharing information across studios that way, as opposed to one that is already in your own development family. So that's a different conversation. But yeah, if Microsoft can now finally get their version of an Insomniac-esque studio where they get to play in those spaces, that is going to be a huge deal for them moving forward. So
it could be huge. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. The Indiana Jones game looks cool. I'm glad they got those really juicy punch sound effects in there. Like, that's just so nostalgic and wonderful. Of course, I will say, every single time I point something out though, that I'm really excited about in that game, I'm like, does anyone under the age of 30 have that reference point of why that's exciting?
Yep.
I kind of don't know if that's whatever, but it's cool. I'm excited. The one thing I am kind of intrigued by, maybe not worried about, but intrigued by, is that there was this moment where the developer, the lead developer who was talking, was like, yeah, there are going to be these like wild puzzles and these cool, weird places that are totally optional. And I'm like, they're not optional for Indiana Jones, the person. Like, he had to kind of do that stuff. Are we saying that he's just going to be like, oh, there's another thing I can grab from a thing, but no, I'm just going to swing around and punch some Nazis? I'm like, punching Nazis is our God-given right, right? And, sure. And I'm so glad that Indiana Jones continues to carry the mantle well into the 21st century to punch Nazis. But like, there is a little bit more to him than that. And so I'm intrigued to kind of see, like, okay, why did they say that was optional? It feels like it shouldn't be optional. But I'll wait to pass judgment until we kind of see the flow of the whole game and all that stuff. So,
I mean, Indiana Jones has always been in my mind like Fordham University Batman. He was never like, he was not the master of.
No, he's not like he's not like a master detective or anything like that. But it's like, but he also is just like, I know Latin. I know all the verses from this Bible thing, and I could just, stand on the blocks that don't. I know what the Grail looks like. There are kind of like pieces of knowledge and expertise that I'm like, I need a little bit of that. It's not just the rough and tumble whip and the gun and the whatever. Yeah. I do need a little bit of that character. I hope that comes through. It didn't totally come through in that trailer, but also that stuff is kind of hard to depict in something that's supposed to get us excited. So
yeah, it's hard to pull that through. There were small super glimpses hard. of the kind of humor that was in that in that series that kind of shone through. That'll be cool to see if they can nail that. But again, I still am in your camp with, like, once this game comes out, I know there are going to be a crap ton of Twitch streams where most of the people playing that game, because it's a new game to play, have no clue about the history of that series.
No idea.
And I do wonder too about, and I didn't think about this until now, even though it should have been the first thing I thought about, was like, in the current climate, Indiana Jones had a very, very specific thing that he did in terms of like the way he fought those enemies. Most of those enemies were Nazis. And will it be one of those things where, because of the way things work politically in the space now, do we get Nazi light? Do we get like the armbands don't have a swastika on it? Is it going to be something where we're going to get this version of enemies where they're going to have to lighten it up for the crowd to be able to enjoy it?
I was watching the stream earlier with some folks on my channel, and when it popped up, and I was hoping no one clipped it, but now someone can probably go back and clip it.
You said it now.
When they panned down and you could see the Nazi uniforms, I said genuinely and enthusiastically, oh, good, there are Nazis.
Right.
Because I was worried that it would just be this kind of like, the marvelization of the Nazis. Yes. It's like, oh, it's Hydra. We don't talk about the Nazi stuff. It's just Hydra. It's like a different fact. We don't say the word Nazi.
Right.
We just kind of say Hydra. I was worried that they would do that, but I hope it'll just be, because Wolfenstein, listen, it's Wolfenstein. They made their bread and butter on putting Nazis in the thresher. And so, like, let's go.
And marketed it in a full, like, full throw.
Oh, they said it with their chest. Yeah.
Which is good. I think That's going to be really interesting because
I
it also feels like, in a weird way, like, you know, thinking about the current state of the world, thinking about, you know, all those pieces of conversation that go along. But even in the conversation of Wolfenstein and the fact that you're fighting Nazis and they went full regalia, all the stuff.
Sure.
Yep. Even that feels like we're moving so fast that even that imagery now feels
like we're getting squeamish about it again. Right. And, I mean, we were squeamish, not to get political on your show, Ka. Sorry, but it's like
on my show. How dare you?
No. But it's like, we were squeamish when Richard Spencer got punched. Right. I mean, I remember people being like, oh, "I don't know about this." And I'm just like, I don't know what to do for you. You know, like if we're at the, but you're right, we might be getting squeamish about it again. And I don't know. I mean, certainly we saw a lot of indie on Nazi violence today, but I do wonder how far it's going to go. I mean, it's probably not going to be an M-rated game.
Sure.
Almost certainly not, because that's not Indiana Jones's vibe. But yeah, I don't know. We'll get a lot of nice, juicy fist smacking against these guys, and that's probably good enough for me.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Punch some dudes in the mouth. MOUF.
Let's do it.
All day, every day. We're at time for this episode of Spawn. I mean, time has flown as it always does when we get a chance to get together. First of all, fam, it is so good to see you. I missed you so much.
It's good to see you.
It's always good.
Miss you too.
Get a chance to hang out and chop it up about games and all the wonderful work you're doing over Glider now. Before we go, one more time, share all the info for the folks at home. And give them the riz on Glider.
Well, let me get my camera down on my feet and we'll do it. I had to set up a ring light next to my feet. I mean, I feel like I'm like in full solidarity with that crowd. I'm like, I gotta get the lighting right. But yeah, you can check out Glider, glider.gg. That's our main website, but also Feet Legal. That's going to take you, feetlegal.com will take you to a page where you can give us your email, which I bother you literally twice in the first couple days. And I ask you very innocuous questions about why you're excited about it. And I don't bother you again. I'll bother you right before we do the Kickstarter and I'll send you updates about your order and stuff like that. But besides that, I don't bug you. You also put a dollar down to get a 43% discount on Glider when it comes out on Kickstarter. You'll be the first in to get those, to get that big discount. So, and that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So, definitely get on that while you can. Glider GG is the social pretty much everywhere. I think it is literally everywhere. So, follow us there. And I can, you know, that I just mentioned the clip where I said, oh good, they're Nazis. I just got a message that said someone clipped it for me. So they've gone in, they were here in the chat and they went in and they did that. So thanks folks.
My mods
love
are
pretty y'all. Yeah, they're pretty great. But you can do that. Glider is such a cool, weird thing that it's, you know, my third act in the games industry is my weirdest one yet. And it's the one I think I'm the most excited about. So, support us. We're just three dudes making this really weird thing, and putting it in the market. But I think it's an awesome thing. So check it out.
Everybody, please go check out Feet Legal. You said feetlegal.gg or feetlegal.com?
No, feetlegal.com.
Feetlegal.com. Go check that out. Make sure you're giving John and the rest of the Glider team some love because they deserve it. And, of course, John is one of the best people in this goddamn industry.
Thanks. Hey, vote on the Spawnies. You're please. Probably about to say it, but vote on the Spawnies. I did my duty yesterday.
Thank you.
And I voted for the Spawnies. I won't tell you who I voted for. I don't want to sway your audience, but
I mean, look, I know how big of a football manager stan you are. I knew it.
I mean,
you saw that chat. You saw that chat. There was a twinkle. There was a twinkle in that man's eye. Anyway.
I mean,
We're going to get up out of here for this episode of Spawn on Me. But again, thank you to John and, of course, the rest of the Glider team. One, for letting me get some hands on with it here in the PDX. It was a great time in the pie shop, getting a chance to go play with some Glider business. We'll be checking this out at some point in the future. I definitely want to get hands on with the device and share some thoughts with you all at home, because I have a lot of use cases for it myself. So that'd be awesome to be able to talk to the rest of the team about that. And again, we're going to be back here live next week with some more goodness from Spawn on Me. If you're here watching the show on twitch.tv/spawnonme, please make sure you follow the show. Make sure you follow our channel, because next month, Spawnies 3 is going to be in full effect. We may top 1 million views over the course of the 3 shows. We're almost at that space. We might be able to do that. And we have some really good, dope announcements to share with you all moving forward into the rest of January and into February. So make sure you're checking that stuff out. Make sure you go check out the videos that we put up for our show on Spotify. Make sure you give us a 5-star review there and on Apple Podcasts and all those other places, because damn it, every time I don't put out a show, they tell me I didn't put out a show. They're like, you're out of the listings. You're out of here, buddy. You can't be on Apple Podcasts anymore. So please make sure you're checking that stuff out. And again, give everybody at home some love. It has been a really weird and rough year already for a lot of folks in the industry. Please be kind to those folks. It is just madness left and right. And, you know, we're all hanging on by our by strings out here in this bad boy in the realest of ways. So please make sure you're spreading some love, giving some kindness out into the world, and also make sure that you're washing your hands and washing your butt, because we are in COVID 3.0. at this point in the way things are moving. So I'll see you all very, very soon. John, massive love to you, and thank you again for spending some time with me today. We got some basketball to go watch at some point, and get some games in. And again, everybody else in Chicago, massive love to you for being with us this week and every week, and we will see you all next week with more Spawn on Me. And until then, we say peace. We up out of here. Bye, y'all.